Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My phone just went asleep. I'm just going to go with this.
It went asleep.
It went asleep. It went to Betty Bye. I am one half of your Quizmaster host, Lee Breschneider. I'm here with Mr. Mark Davis. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Lee. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks good. For asking. Every week, Mark and I get together and share our favorite questions we've asked at our own trivia events and talk about the quote-unquote nuts and bolts of how we write our questions. But before we get started with that, a little news. Mark, what is different about our podcast this week?
Well, Lee, I'm glad you asked. What is different about the podcast this week is that we are now available on such platforms as Stitcher. We are also available on Google Play, hopefully by the time that this comes out. And we are also available on iTunes, also known as iTunes.
Yippee!
Thank you. Thank you.
A little exclamation of joy there for you.
So we're like a real podcast
That's
now.
That's awesome, yeah. So if you're listening, please go subscribe to us on those platforms. Give us a little review. That will help us jump up in the ratings. I don't know of many trivia podcasts. I'm sure that they exist, but what are their qualifications? Are they quizmasters? Are they just like reading out a book? Or
well, there's Malcolm Gladwell. He wrote some books.
Yeah. I hear we're about as reliable as him when it comes to information based on research. But
yeah, there's that giant deal between him and Tyler Mahan Co., who can't stand him.
Right.
So, you know.
I'm with Tyler on this one. He's the perfect kind of asshole, you know?
Yeah, he's a huge asshole.
he's divisive.
The more I know about him, the more
for sure. But you have to admit, Cocaine and Rhinestones is an amazing.
It is
podcast.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it is
cool. So yeah, this week you and I both hosted trivia on the 4th of July. You at Nice Guys Pizza and me at Bury Me Brewing. How did yours go?
It went well. Mm-hmm. It went slow. Mm-hmm. Nice Guys is located right by where they did our local festivities, Red, White, and Boom.
Yeah.
So a lot of roads were blocked off and a lot of people were getting drunk on Bud Light and watching the fireworks. So
damn.
It was, so it was pretty slow, but it was nice. We had some good teams. How was yours?
Mine was good. Actually, I was expecting to not have anybody show up, but I guess being further away from the downtown area, being in Midtown Fort Myers, actually had some people show up, and there were some old regulars of the old trivia that was there before I took over, and they stuck around afterwards and like gave me a pat on the back, and they were like, "We've been coming here for years, and it was okay before, but you got the thing.
You do got the thing. It's true.
So that made me feel good."
Good.
But yeah, I had about five solid teams. One of them had about seven members on it, and they just dominated, basically. And that brings me to something else. Like, the trivia that I write, I really write it for, like, six people, like, teams of six.
Okay.
And sometimes people come, and they think they can try and solo the game and farewell. And funny enough, on Monday night, a mutual friend of ours, Seth, he's a very smart guy, very knowledgeable, but he did come to my trivia on Monday and expected to just be able to solo it. And another
How'd that
team,
work out?
Not well. I mean, he got in the mid card, which was good. He beat some teams of three by himself, which was, you know, that's admirable and everything.
Absolutely.
But to take on a team of six, you know, and what happens is you have, if you have any kind of gaping holes in pop culture, you know, and there's like video games, he doesn't know a lot about video games. And I had three video game questions. And meanwhile, this other team of six, they've got the full multi-generational team.
It's a lot like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
You need to have, you know, you got to have a paladin, you got to have a thief.
Yeah.
You got to have a fighter.
Exactly.
You got to have a mage.
And if you're going to multi-class all those, you better be fucking good.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
You know. So, yeah, basically my final question that night had to do with Fortnite. And he didn't know anything about Fortnite, but of course the winning team had that one, like, 14-year-old kid, you know, and he was like, "Now is my time to shine!"
Well, we talked a little bit last week, and I was talking about, like, my specific skill set as far as playing trivia, being music and movies and pop culture and stuff like that. When it comes to geography and things like that, as I proved last week, which I actually wanted to touch on,
We might introduce a correction segment. I had some
iffy
moments myself.
I'm going to introduce one right now.
All right, let's hear it.
Because first of all, Nantucket is in Massachusetts. My friend Tim pointed out that I'm an idiot for not knowing that because I'm from
the
Northeast.
A New England idiot, basically.
Yeah, which I did know, I guess, in the time I was a little out of my element last week.
It's first show jitters.
Yeah, I mean, it was
we're on
just the spot. It was just kind of like a, you know, it just kind of escaped me.
Yeah.
Also, Marie Antoinette is not Bloody Mary. Mary and Marie are completely different names. That was another thing that I just kind of...
I just took your word for it. I didn't know either.
Which you shouldn't. Because, when it, again, when it comes to things in time, I'm just... When it comes to history, I'm terrible. I also learned today, Anthony LaFucci, a friend of ours, pointed out that Crash Bandicoot is a bandicoot.
I said that on the podcast.
Did you?
Yeah, you said, what is Crash Bandicoot? And he said, he's a bandicoot.
I thought you were just joking. I thought you were just fucking around.
Oh, well.
Bandicoot? He's a bandicoot.
I wouldn't put all my money on it, but I was like 75% sure that a bandicoot is a thing.
Okay, well, I didn't know, and I am sure enough. There was a little
doubt,
though.
Your doubt, I mirrored your doubt as well, so.
Okay.
That's the other thing. You get on a team, you can, just as easily as we proved, you can walk yourself right out of the right answer, like I did with young Ben Franklin.
Yeah, who always just looked older than he was.
Who's actually old. He's actually old. Just as you can walk yourself out of the right answer, you can walk your teammates right into the gates of hell as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess absolutely.
So, when he left, Seth, he pointed a finger at me and he said, too many video game questions.
Uh-huh.
You ask that many video game questions again, I'm not going to come back. And I said, you need to bring a team like they did.
That's,
because you
that's
know what?
The thing.
All those video game questions, more than half of the teams that were there that night got it right. So
Seth is a loner.
Is it the questions? No, it's, and like I said, admirable. You know, he performed well.
Absolutely.
But these are questions that are written for bigger groups, like six people.
Yep.
Specifically. So
hit on all the, all the
bring your
the
friends.
Bases.
Bring your friends. Like Mark put it out. It's like you want a D&D team. You want somebody from every class, every category, you know, or
as soon as you go to trivia somewhere, the first question I always ask somebody is how many people can be on a team?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of get an idea. Yeah. And that way you can know exactly how much you can expand. You want your, you know, old guy or old woman.
Mm-hmm.
You want your video game person. You want your music person, movie person. You want to get a nice range of, you know, people that have expertises.
Totally agree. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we will be back with round number one.
Mm-hmm.
Back. Mark, are you ready for the first question of round number one?
It's fair to say I've never been so ready for anything in my life, Lee.
We took an extended break there of about 45 seconds. I don't know, it's pretty short, actually. Okay. Anyway, this first question that I have for you, it's medium difficulty for me. I rate it 4 points on a 7-point difficulty scale.
Okay, we're doing that. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to be tallying the points here, but I just want to let you know where I'm at.
Because last week, I may or may not have gotten more right than you.
I'm not sure. I didn't count.
I'm not sure either.
I think you are. You brought it up.
I can't confirm or deny.
Okay. Maybe somebody, if you're listening and you are keeping score, you know, just comment on that post or something on the Facebook page.
Let us know.
Yeah. All right. First question. Moderate difficulty. It's a science question.
Oof.
Very recent. Kind of a current events question as well. This week, researchers in London published the results of a study that found what kind of insect actually thrives better in cities than in agricultural environments, revealing that the city dwellers have higher populations and colonies, larger food stores, fewer parasite invasions, and longer lifespans than their country counterparts. So I'm looking for the type of insect that researchers in London found thrive more in cities.
I'm going to guess, I've heard recently that honeybees have been put on the endangered species list, and I know that that's a big thing, so I'm going to say bees.
That's correct.
Nice.
It's bumblebees.
All right, bumblebees.
Specifically bumblebees.
Bees that bumble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So good for them. They're adapting, you know. A lot of teams that I when I asked that, wrote down roaches, which is a good first... I think I would go there first.
I was going to say flies for some reason was my initial, but I don't even know if flies live in the country. I guess they do, yeah, because there's cow shit out there.
Right. Where'd they come from? They didn't come from the city.
Yeah. they came from the country. They're like the Beverly Hillbillies of insects.
Yep. They're from the country and they like it their way. All Okay. I don't know if that's the melody or not, but that's my question.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the bumblebee slide.
Okay. All right. It's a good one. All right. I'm not going to tell you the amount of difficulty here because I think it might give something away. And in telling you that,
that's fine.
I probably have already given something away.
I'm not thinking about it too hard.
Which city in Florida is nicknamed the Magic City?
The Magic City. I mean, I'm thinking of Orlando Magic, first of all. That's my first thought. But, you know, maybe that's too up. Maybe this is an easy rated question. Maybe that's what you were talking about. See, now you're in my head.
See? See what I did there?
The shoe's on the other foot. Magic Miami has a nice alliterative quality to it. Got that double M. Yeah. I'm going to go... I really don't think it could be... Well, let's see here. Magic. Entertainment. Magicians. Jacksonville, maybe. No. No. I'm going with the Orlando Magic. Orlando.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Miami. Miami.
Just a hop, skip, jump over that answer.
Which last night when I said that, people were like, you're wrong. And I was like, you're thinking of the Orlando Magic. And they're like,
right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, but that's not called the Magic City. That's the basketball team. That's what they're called.
What if there was a giant cultural shift, though? Like, what if we just started saying, it's actually Orlando. It's weird that it's Miami. I mean, what's the history there? Do you know why...
You know Miami's... what I don't?
Oh, okay.
It's probably just how amazing and beautiful it is.
I want to believe it has something to do with stage magicians.
A1A, Beachfront Avenue. I don't know if those were the lyrics or not, but that's from Ice Ice Baby, which I think was talking about the beautiful city of Miami. So yeah, the answer is Miami.
Good to know. Magic Miami. I have an ancient history question for you now. We're hopping all over the place here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And this one is fairly difficult. This is probably one of the more difficult ones. But I feel like I wrote it in a way that you have a decent chance at guessing, at least.
Okay, hold on. This just in.
Mm.
It's called the Magic City. The nickname comes from its rapid growth from 1896 to 2006. It went from 1,000 residents to nearly 5.5 million.
That is a really long period of time to call rapid growth. I mean, it is it's a lot of distance between the numbers, and I get that, but it's like over 100 years.
Yeah, that's
like
probably,
to call it rapid.
Yeah, that's probably,
most of Florida's history, and that Florida's an old state too.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely shifting that over to Orlando, right? Can we agree on this, please?
I don't think we can.
I don't have beef with your question, because I'm sure it seems like it's based on some kind of fact.
It is.
But you got to be with me on this, man.
I don't think I can
That's the reason?
That's what it says.
Orlando has a basketball team called the Magic.
Well, but...
That's not invented. That's not some invented stretch of time ratio, like...
I would be curious to know why the Orlando Magic is called the Orlando Magic. I'm sure it's because they became a basketball team. They were one of the expansion teams, and I'm sure they did, you know, a lot of times they'll do like a voting thing.
Like they were the Lakeland Magic before or something, and then they just like, oh, let's just shift over here as we grow into the NBA. Was that a 90s team? Did they come up in the 90s, the Magic?
The Magic, 85-86 team creation.
Okay.
And just so we're clear, I'm looking some of this stuff up now, but I am not looking up my answers. I don't like cheaters.
I just have to say, it should be Orlando. You've got Disney World, which is like they have the Magical Kingdom. You have the Orlando Magic basketball team. And the evidence for Miami being the Magic City is that they have the same rate of growth in population that I have hairs on my body. Like, since the day I was born, I had zero hairs, and now I have 5 million. It's magic. It's kind of just the way of it, you know?
The name Magic in Orlando Magic alludes to the area's biggest tourist attraction and economic engine, Walt Disney World, along with its Magic Kingdom.
All right, I'm turning on you, man. I think this question is wrong. You should not ask this question again. This is a bad question.
Well, it's already done. But I mean, it doesn't say anything about Orlando being called the Magic
City. We may look back at this and say, this is the worst question ever asked on the podcast.
Wow.
This is bad.
You're very angry, but here's the thing. Miami,
it makes no sense to me.
I didn't write the rules. Miami is called the Magic City. and Orlando isn't.
This sounds like some Wikipedia vandalism, if you ask me.
You're just mad because I one-upped you. Ask your question, because I'm not going to get this right.
Okay, one of the first, again, it's ancient history. So ancient I thought history. This was one of your things. Didn't you watch Ancient Aliens, maybe? And
I've watched Action... Bronson. Action Bronson watch Ancient Aliens.
That is my preferred way to watch that show as well, is through the lens of him and Tyler, the Creator, and guests.
For sure.
Anyway, one of the few surviving documents of the great King Cyrus... I know you know this already. You can tell by your face, who ruled over the first Persian Empire circa 500 BC, is inscribed in clay formed to be what geometric shape? One of the few surviving documents of the great King Cyrus is inscribed in clay formed to be what geometric shape? It's also called the Cyrus Blank. That's the name of this object / document.
Geometric shape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like every answer I have is stupid.
It might work out. It might work out. But it's not. It's a geometric shape.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not the obvious answer.
Well,
I'm going to give you that hint. It's not a rectangle.
Right.
Or a cube or anything like that.
I was thinking cube.
No. I'll give you that.
That's a very kind clue. Mm-hmm.
Cuz I can tell it's clearly on the tip of your tongue here.
A scroll isn't a geometric shape.
No, it's not.
I'm going to say a sphere.
Oh, man, that would be badass.
Wouldn't
but
that
it's
be
not.
Cool looking like a basketball, yeah. But with inscribing?
Right. It's a cylinder. The Cyrus cylinder. Yeah. So kind of like a scroll. One part of a scroll.
Okay.
Yeah.
A scroll re-scrolled.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All folded up. All right. And just on one side.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Yeah, it's like a little autobiography about him, like a little braggadocio piece, if you will. I'm Cyrus. I'm so great. We should give land back to the Jews because they got kicked out of Babylon, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And that was like, that was basically just his method of conquering, you know, populations. Kind of like Genghis Khan would do too. It's like, you just have to recognize that I'm the boss and you don't have to assimilate your culture at all. You just do your thing and we're just going to move on to the next thing.
Just let me rule over you.
And so, yeah, they were like, hell yeah, Cyrus is great. Woo.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good for him.
So there's some history for you.
All right.
That was one of my harder questions of the week.
Let me hit you up with some trivia now. Yeah. By what name is Rebecca Rolfe better known? This is a person in history. By what name is Rebecca Rolfe better known? I feel like I have to give you, since
this
you
is a
helped
history
me along,
question.
This is a person in history.
Okay. It's not Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
It
I don't
is
know
not.
Why that's who came to mind first.
The original
and true Mystique.
I feel like I should give you some form of clue, but the one clue I'm thinking of gives you a pretty big advantage.
Mm. I'm out here clueless, by the way.
You're out here clueless.
Yeah.
They only had the name that you would know is just one word.
Mm. That does give me, I feel, a pretty big hint. I know it's not Madonna because, maybe it is Madonna. I'm pretty sure that's not, I'm pretty sure she has a more Italian last name as well as Lady Gaga, which is two names. So it's not her.
Not if you say it really fast.
Lady Gaga. Super Bowl performance by Lady Gaga. I'm going to go with Cher.
Cher
is what I would write down.
I tell you it's a history question and you go,
oh,
with
God
fucking
damn it.
Cher.
I pulled back the pop culture again. Silly me.
The correct
Cher's
answer.
Historical.
Right? She is historical.
She married a senator at one point.
Do you have another guess now that I'm harping on?
One word name?
History.
Is it Medusa?
The correct answer
that's a historical figure with one name?
The answer is that's incorrect. The answer is Pocahontas.
Oh, okay.
Pocahontas.
Okay. Rebecca Rolfe. Wonder where the Rolfe... Oh, wait, is that the governor's name?
She married a dude
mm-hmm.
named John Rolfe
mm-hmm.
and took his last name. And they just slapped old Rebecca on there because it's easier to say, I guess, than Pocahontas.
Right.
I'm guessing. I don't know about that part of it, but...
That's why I went with Breschneider. You know, slightly easier.
It's hard to say, Breschneider, yeah. for some people, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm.
They put a question mark on the end. Breschneider? Hmm? Is that how you say?
Schneider?
This Breschneider.
We're still slowly assimilating to Jewish names.
Right.
And trying to get them...
I'm getting back out.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know what Breschneider is, if you were to try and orient that to a place
this sounds
in the world.
Like you're, I was going to say, this sounds like you're having a self-discovery. I don't know what I am. I don't know what Breschneider is.
Who am I? That is a great Jackie Chan movie, by the way.
What am I?
All right. I have a movie question coming your way, actually.
Okay, we'll see.
For a point apiece.
Oof.
I have faith in you. I think you're going to get all these.
Oh, boy. I feel like I should sit up a little bit for this.
For a point apiece, name the directors of four films widely considered to be the foundation of modern American independent cinema. Those films being, so I want the director of each of these.
Okay.
Do the Right Thing, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Clerks, and Reservoir Dogs.
Okay, I got three of them. Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee.
Correct.
Reservoir Dogs, Quentin Tarantino. Actually, just listened to the soundtrack to that movie yesterday.
The Bohemoth. Yep.
My favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Stephen
the
Wright.
The Bohemoth.
Does some yes. radio voiceovers in
absolutely
the movie.
Absolutely, for... K-B-I-L-L-Y.
Mm.
Billy. Sounds of the Super Sounds of the 70s.
That's my ASMR, is listening to Stephen Wright absolutely. Tell jokes.
There's a big Stephen Wright versus, what's his name? Guy who overdosed. Mitch Hedberg.
Yes.
Like a big back and forth with them as far as their deadpannedness.
Right. They have a similarity in the same way that George Carlin and Bill Hicks do, where they're like kindred joke spirits.
Okay, so we got Spike Lee.
Yes.
We got Quentin Tarantino.
That's right.
What was the third movie? Kevin Smith,
uh-huh.
Clerks.
Yep, 3 points.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Yep.
Woof. Mm-hmm. That one I don't know. I'm going to go with David Fincher.
No, it's a little early for him.
Okay.
But similar style.
Okay.
Steven Soderbergh.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I know that David Fincher directed the music video for Freedom by George Michael.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Steven Soderbergh.
That had to be early in his career.
It was pretty early. Yeah. Hmm. There's a lot of people that got their start doing music videos and stuff like that. So.
Right.
But yeah, all right, well, I feel all right with that. Three out of four.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I thought you were going to get it, but...
In what year did Freddie Mercury die? We talked about this last year, mm-hmm. We talked about this last week. You got to get the year on the nose.
Right, because you score that way.
I score that way.
That's just the way you score.
I score it that way.
All right, Freddie Mercury... Mercury. The great
swinger.
Yes. Swinger singer. Man, I feel like I was just all deep up in his Wikipedia page.
Mm.
And I forgot all the information. I was like, maybe I can add
definitely
would have I know his name. This. I know his real name, but I don't remember that.
Frederic Balsara.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And he's not from Lebanon.
Or Farouk Balsara.
He's like from... Yeah. Anyway, the great singer of Queen.
Queen.
Get a lot of Queen requests for the soundtrack of my trivia events. People will come up and say, can you play some Queen?
New movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
About Queen.
Yep.
Called Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm going to say...
AIDS quilt.
Right. Part of me wants to say it's the early 90s, like 91 or 90. But then I'm like, it could even be earlier than that. It could be 89, but I think I'm going to go with 1990. It's just such a split. I feel like 1990, that might be a little early even.
The correct answer is, it's hard to listen.
Yeah.
1991. 1991.
Damn, I was but a boy.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. You were just a child.
Mm-hmm.
But that information has stayed with us through the years.
Right. I was, yeah, generally, dates are, I'm terrible at those questions most of the time.
Yeah,
I know some specific years because I really like them personally, like 94.
Okay.
Just in terms of the music, and I don't know, 1994 just seems really solid. Like, if you ask a question about...
September 11th?
1994. Perfect. What am I telling you?
Yeah. What year was Citizen Kane released?
That was also 1994.
Gotta be 94.
All the great things in
history. September 11th was not a great thing.
I mean,
in
great in the way that Trump would use the word great. Like, just you know, big.
Fantastical.
Bigly.
Gotcha.
That's all I meant by that. I don't mean, like, you know, any kind of positive attribution to it.
Gotcha.
You know, he just lowered the bar so far that we don't even have to, you know, speak with proper definitions anymore. It's so much more relaxed.
Gotcha.
You know, facts don't matter anymore. Anyway, that was a good question.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I didn't get it.
It's okay.
I feel ashamed for not getting it.
I think now is a good time to take a break.
Yes.
To
read up on Freddie Mercury.
To reread Freddie Mercury's entire Wikipedia.
Maybe I'll have a Freddie Mercury question coming your way.
Oh boy.
No, probably not. Back
here we are,
round
all read
three.
Up on Freddie Mercury,
mm-hmm.
from Zanzibar. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, me neither. It's a Middle Eastern country. It's not Lebanon.
Okay,
I know that. It's on the tip of my tongue.
He's from fucking Zanzibar. Born of Parsi descent in Zanzibar.
Right, so he's Persian.
Holy shit. How did I pull that out of my... See, that's just one of those things. Well, one of my best friends...
I feel like if
up,
our brains were filing cabinets, our brains would have a lot of stuff in them, but it would just be the papers would be like out the side, you know,
yeah.
creeping out.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, somewhere deep
I knew this was here.
This is what I was talking about when I mentioned the dark place. Sometimes
right.
I just have to let myself sink
right.
into this deep place, and then that will just come spewing out.
Well, let's hear a question from round three.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. What, in 1961, was the first animated cartoon TV show to be nominated for an Emmy?
I'm going to have to go with the OGs, not the Jetsons, but the Flintstones.
That's correct.
Yes.
The Flintstones.
Yes.
Good job.
That was, before The Simpsons, I believe the Flintstones was the longest running animated show, and maybe sitcom, like half-hour sitcom.
Yeah.
And then the Simpsons, I believe, surpassed that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they were, in their heyday, they were huge. They did commercials with the Flintstones. You may have, if you're our age, you may have eaten their vitamins.
Uh-huh.
You
the
know,
chewables.
You might have eaten too many of those because you confuse them for candy, like I did.
Okay.
And then I had it. No, that didn't happen. But, I mean, maybe it should have happened. Maybe I should have seen a doctor because I do remember like being like, oh yeah, here come those Flintstones vitamins.
Pretty fascinating episode of Radiolab where they're talking about poison control,
mm-hmm.
and what poison control is actually like when people call it. And pretty fascinating talking about children, just basically like parents leaving out like fluoride tablets or chewables or whatever, and their kids just getting, you know.
Oh, the effects of that won't hit them for 30, 40 years. Don't you worry about that.
They're just going to grow up and have a lot of self-loathing.
Also, back to Flintstones, though. Flintstones push pops, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
that
my
is
God.
Correct.
Those were as addictive as the damn vitamins.
And I remember also related to the Flintstones, something near and dear to my heart, the McRib. When
there
the
was,
Flintstones
oh,
movie
there was a promotion?
Came out, they did a promotion with the McRib.
Okay.
Because, you know, there, ribs.
Was the song Do the Dinosaur by Was Not Was on the soundtrack to the Flintstones? Or is that just a totally separate
I think
dinosaur
it's a totally separate thing. But they might have used it.
I barely remember the Flintstones movie. I remember John Goodman.
Rick Moranis.
It. Right. As Barney Rubble.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Nope.
Can't remember the other one.
Sorry, whoever that was. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to... I did 4th of July trivia, and I actually themed mine. I think you just went general, right?
I did general just knowledge. Go general, yeah.
So, I've got some special presidential founding fathers trivia here for you. Okay. So, these are fun, though. All right. So, the first one is, which U.S. president received as a gift and subsequently kept 2 grizzly bears on the White House lawn for a few months while waiting for a handler to take responsibility for the pair? So there was a U.S. president, and he had 2 big cages on the White House lawn that he kept 2 grizzly bears in that he received as a gift.
This is so hard, and you're not even giving me like a year or anything. So it could literally be any of 40-something presidents. Who's nuts enough? And I want to say that I actually read this and I was like, that's too hard for me.
Oh, okay.
In my various
It's too
readings,
hard for my people, my teams. Like,
yeah, this is one of those things where I'd probably give a little more information. Not that you have to. It's fine. It's fine. Let's go with Teddy Roosevelt.
That is a great guess, and more information would have suited you well. Do you want to take a second guess? Because I feel like that's the obvious one, and I got a lot of people that wrote that down. But it's not the right answer.
I mean, I don't think I would have any of a better guess.
Okay.
How about...
I'll say this. He's a founding father.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
Okay.
It is Thomas Jefferson.
Someone gave Thomas Jefferson 2 fucking grizzly bears.
And he was like, I don't know what to do with these. Just put up cages in the White House lawn and keep them there. And he called one of his generals and he was like, can you come grab these things? And the guy was like, I'll be there in 4 fortnights.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, it was like 2 months, basically, that the White House had grizzly bears on the lawn.
Jesus.
I think we should bring that back. I don't know why. Just like for conservation, environmental conservation purposes.
Yeah.
All that grass, put some bears in there.
Why not? Just imagine how many people would try and, well, just imagine how many people would try and jump the fence and run up to the White House if you just had...
Well, the fence surrounds the perimeter, but if you're going to be president, you need to be able to fend off bears, I think, right? So you don't put the fence on the inside.
Okay.
You know,
that's... So maybe whenever someone is going to be elected to be president, they have to fight at least one bear.
You have to get from the gate to the bears. Yeah, they only eat potential presidents. This is our new system we're designing, by the way. They only eat potential presidents. And in order to become president, you have to run from the gate to the front door of the White House. And if you can get yourself and all your family inside... Before
your
being
family.
Yeah, well, everybody's going to move in. Your family, your staff.
Jesus.
They've all got to make it into the White House.
Your family and your staff, yes. Now. And you're responsible for
I'm
all
talking
of them.
120, 150 people and about 12 starving bears that are roaming the
like
White House
lawn. I feel like
this
has turned from just the president to be and the bear to the president, their family, and all of their cabinet to 12 bears that have been starved and whipped.
We know that the president's pretty much just a figurehead. You know,
fair
so
enough.
You got to get your whole staff, your cabinet, you know, and that would prevent people that are frankly too old to be in the White House from making it.
That would make people just be like, oh, the president, the head of the EPA is John Cena because he's strong and because he can beat up a bear.
I've seen his PSAs. He cares.
Well, he cares about bears.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
He'd be okay.
I'm going to make a joke here about people not being able to see him. There.
Oh. Wait, I don't get it. Cena? Like,
no, there's
I don't see him.
Do you not watch wrestling? Well, I don't watch wrestling either, but apparently there's this. We're going to catch a lot of shit, but apparently there's something like you can't see me is his thing. I don't know. I don't know the.
I thought that was an XFL player's name.
Oh, man. You're. That,
you
I was,
can't
I was
see
really
me.
Hoping you'd know what I was talking about.
I haven't watched wrestling since the Attitude Era. And in my opinion, that's the best era. I'm right in that, you know, D-Generation X, Stone Cold. The Rock.
Okay.
You know, that's the pinnacle. I know it's probably based on age what you think is the best wrestling.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
But, you know,
I'm sure.
Some people be like, but Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
That's
like,
how
I don't give a fuck.
See, I'm old, so I'm like, I remember my dad loving Jimmy the Superfly Snuka, so that's my, like, way back in the day.
To me, Macho Man is a Slim Jim salesman and nothing more.
Ooh, yeah. See, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, I remember...
Do you remember?
Just like it was yesterday. All right. I owe you a question.
Let's hear it.
Who wrote Finnegan's Wake?
Finnegan's Wake was written by somebody with the middle name of O apostrophe. And O'Sullivan and O'Malley. It's not Martin O'Malley, who was the host of the TV show Guts.
It is
That's
not.
Who I thought of first.
That would be very incorrect.
Yeah.
He wrote nothing.
Yes. Finnegan's Wake by...
I'm going to get as culturally insensitive as we can.
Didn't this... And they also wrote something like the... oh, man. I'm brain farting all over the place. I feel like I know this, and I'm not going to get
it.
I'm
sure
right
you
now.
Do. They did write another famous book.
Not The Phantom Toll Booth. God damn it. Why all these authors write these books that have similar but different names? Just give it to me. This is a big old... I'm just going to take that all on this.
The correct answer is James Joyce.
That's not even who I was thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty.
He wrote James Ulysses as well.
That's exactly. Okay. That's the other one I was thinking of.
Oh, man. Who am I thinking of?
He also wore an eye patch, which is pretty badass. I don't know.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I think. Oh, boy. I hope I'm not wrong about that.
I picture him with an eye patch. Look forward to a new correction segment next week, folks. After we have time to listen back to all the idiot things we say.
Boy, do I hope he wore a fucking eye patch.
James Joyce. Finnegan's Wake. Never read it. I hear it's a classic.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's supposed to be great. I think his shit's supposed to be really hard to
read. I spent a lot of times focusing in high school on TV production and newspaper.
Okay.
And not so much on reading assignments, doing homework, etc. You know?
Gotcha.
So I think Finnegan's Wake was on some reading list, and I was like, nope.
Not happening.
Give me something I want to read. All right, here's my second question of this round. Another Founding Father question.
I just wanted to say real quick.
Yeah.
I know that you and I have talked a little bit about this. I just wanted to at some point mention my complete distaste for themed trivia.
Okay. So you're not enjoying this right now.
Just wanted to put it out there. I mean, it's not that I'm not enjoying it, and for holidays and stuff, I guess it's whatever, but mm-hmm. I just feel like it. It just puts out so many people that don't...
I see where you're going with this. I agree. Yeah. It's anytime I've held themed trivia on a regular night or announced like next week we're doing this theme, people just automatically give up. They're like, I don't know anything about that. So yep. I'm going to find other plans if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I always see a decrease. And so, you know, sometimes people come up and they say, will you do a theme night? And it's really something like, yeah, maybe we should do like an extra theme night, you know, like another night of the week, but to do it during regular scheduled trivia.
Let me tell you the people that want theme nights.
Mm-hmm. Disney nerds.
Disney nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars nerds.
Yep.
Star Trek nerds.
Haven't
Harry Potter yet. Nerds.
Yes.
Marvel DC nerds.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Those are the people that want theme. You'll never get like someone who's like, hey, I'm a, you know, astronaut.
Right.
Can we get an astronaut themed, like it's never anything like that, or like I'm an engineer.
The one of the hosts on the old podcast I used to produce, Spew, Jesse, mm-hmm. she actually hit me up once and said you should do president's trivia. And so I messaged her and I was like, this 4th of July trivia I got, it's like the closest you're gonna get to a president's trivia.
Did she come out?
She did not, but she said she was going to, but apparently had some schoolwork to do, so can't be too upset about that. But I'm going to field you these president questions right now. Maybe she's listening and she can, you know, get
we'll
some
see.
Knowledge. Yeah,
yeah
play
maybe.
Along at home. This one, I feel like you have a good chance of guessing this one.
We'll see.
Which founding father once wrote a tract called Fart Proudly, which included a call for scientists to focus efforts on giving flatulence a more pleasant odor?
There's only one insane motherfucker that would do that shit.
Yes.
And it's Benjamin Franklin.
Everybody got that right, and nobody knew it for a fact.
That motherfucker yep. was just on another level. He was so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He fucking invented weird-ass instruments. He was willing to do the key with a kite thing. He's talking about farts.
That is the most crazy thing.
Dude, see...
I'm going to fly a kite in a thunderstorm.
because I want to know about electricity.
Right.
If I'm right, this shit's going to shock the fuck out of me, and I'm going to try it. And that's ballsy, and that's true love for your country. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. Imagine telling somebody that, and they're like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you should do it or not.
If he went up to Thomas Jefferson, and he's like, hey, you're a tall bitch. Hold this with this key on it, and it's going to shock you. I just want to make sure it does, though.
Wouldn't that
Thomas Jefferson would be like, no.
I like that version. Can we just rewrite history and have that?
I would really, really like that.
Franklin, you know, for a YouTube prank, Benjamin Franklin had Thomas Jefferson hold a key above his head in a field.
That would be, yeah. I mean, that's the way history should have been written.
That's the ultimate universe, you know, where we relaunch American history, but it starts in 2006.
Kind of like drunk history.
Yeah.
But rewritten history.
There you go. Podcast idea. Publish it. Another thing that Ben Franklin did that I asked about, but I'm not going to have here, is he rewrote the alphabet. He didn't like the alphabet. He thought that letters like C and X and W were redundant. And he also added his own vowels. He's like, this is the way the English alphabet should be. Not the way that we currently use it.
I wouldn't be surprised if
he tried to get it going.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was constantly high on something.
Yeah, he seems very eccentric. It sounds
like
he
just woke up and got really fucking, really baked or something every day and was just like, you know what?
Right. He was on that Tolkien pipeweed shit. Gandalf shit.
He's just
like,
you know what? Fucking W is just two Vs next to each other. You're not fooling anybody.
Right.
And X Zoltek. Yeah.
Just call yourself Wolfpeck. You know that's what you want to do. Wolfpeck.
All right, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Is this my last question to you?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a motherfucking president question that I asked last night.
Oh, okay.
What president is the one who described coffee at the Maxwell House Hotel as good to the last drop? Gotcha, bitch.
I thought it was going to be somebody shitting on the coffee.
No.
I was like, this is going to be Lyndon Baines Johnson getting caught in a recording going like, that coffee they got at that hotel's bullshit. It's
tastes bullshit. Like, tastes like shit water.
But who could be so bland to describe coffee at the what hotel?
The Maxwell House Hotel. Maxwell House Coffee.
Has a hotel.
Good to the last drop. It started because it was the coffee at the Maxwell House Hotel. And this president was like, this shit, good to the last drop. And so then they started making...
This was the tagline being coined.
Yes.
Is a president
absolutely.
Said this.
A president said this. Which president?
I'm going to say Ronald Reagan.
Mm.
Gerald Ford.
Older.
Jimmy Neutron. No. Why can't...
Jimmy Neutron was not a president.
This is our ultimate America. Remember where we were launching it?
Camacho.
Is it Tricky Dick?
It is not. It is Teddy Roosevelt, the same president that I guessed.
Oh, it's way older than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maxwell House has been around for a minute. Yeah, he is the one who described their coffee as good to the last drop.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Okay.
I can get behind that. I like the idea of Teddy Roosevelt being the one to say that.
Yeah.
Like, good to the last drop. It's so wholesome of him, you know?
It is.
It's just how corrupt our times have gotten. That seems wholesome. Just a... You know, nondescript thing. Okay.
Now it would be Maxwell House. This shit rules.
This shit tastes like it came out of a cat's butthole, man. Maxwell House. That's how we're doing coffee in 2018.
Indeed. Can't wait for these animals to shit this coffee bean out.
Roosevelt would drink it.
Yeah.
He would be into that.
He was a badass.
Natural. That's how we always brought the Panthers around and fed them the coffee beans. We could brew the Maxwell House coffee right. It's like that's the version of them putting cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's my last question. I'm going last this time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Last Founding Father question for you. Oof. Then we'll move on to our final questions. Which Founding Father had a notorious temper and penchant for swearing, leaving one General Charles Scott, who witnessed such an event, to say that he cussed until the, quote, leaves shook the trees. Never have I enjoyed such swearing before or since.
Let me get it one more time.
Which Founding Father had a notorious temper and penchant for swearing, leaving General Charles Scott, who witnessed such an event to say that he cussed until the leaves shook on the trees. Never have I enjoyed such swearing before or since.
The leaves shook the trees. I love that.
Yes. It's Holy a great shit. Quote. And I know you're a fan of swearing, so I thought that you would appreciate this one.
I am.
Most of all.
You know, I'm not going to, you know, they always, people post this thing that's like, oh, if you swear, it means that you're
really hyper intelligent.
It just means that you.
It's true, though. Well, it's fucking true.
It just means that you just love the word fuck a lot, I think.
It's, I mean, and that you don't have a filter. It's vernacular.
It's colorful language.
It's part of how we talk in Florida.
I'm going to go with. One answer was already Thomas Jefferson. One answer was already Ben Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seems like he'd be a bad motherfucker. 6'4", weighs a fucking ton. George Washington.
Bing, bing, bing. That is correct.
What a badass. That is correct.
He swore until the leaves shook the trees. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
That motherfucker rolling up.
I also can't imagine what bad words were back then. I don't know if they had the word fuck then or not, but I mean, I wonder. What I would love to hear. Yeah. That cotton tail.
And we probably just like, can't repeat some of them. They're probably still swear words.
There's probably a couple of them that
we can't even say them.
Yeah, would a different kind of colorful language, if you catch my drift. Mm-hmm. But that's awesome. I love to imagine him
right
just really fucking having at it. Hey, and
there's
it worked.
I haven't seen all of it, but I don't recall a Drunk History episode that has George Washington swearing.
Washington. Neither do I.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I don't even know if they're still making that show or not. But anyway.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's our round two, everyone. We're going to take another short break here, and then we're going to get into our final questions. Try and stump each other. It is time for our final questions.
I'm ready. I feel like a contestant on a game show.
The air shifted in here.
Yeah, I feel a palpable.
Why do I feel nervous?
I don't know.
You better just fire it at me. Let's just get it over with. Okay. What do we got?
You don't have a pen and paper, so we're going to see how this goes here.
All right.
How many U.S. states begin with the letter M? How many U.S. states begin with the letter M as in Mark?
Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana. That would be 8. Is that correct?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
That's 8. Correct.
Yes.
Holy shit. Did you learn the states by alphabetical order?
I just sang that shit in my head until I hit M.
You know, it's funny because I was like, oh, I wonder how many people know that, because I never learned that song.
Oh, okay.
And I know that
songs
some people
work.
Know it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, most people put 7, and it's funny because when I asked, you know, the final question, I was reading the answers, I said, Maine, blah, blah, and I was going through and you'd hear, yes, yes. Oh, like you'd hit like, you know, Montana and someone would be
right.
Like,
so
shit.
In the song, there's a melody change when you get to Minnesota. It's like Minnesota, Mississippi. And in my head at first, I was like, OK, I'm going to start at Minnesota. And then I was like, wait, you
no,
got
to
backtrack. There's more than Minnesota. There's Maine.
There's
Maine starts on A. You
Absolutely.
Just skipped right over it.
My alma mater.
So it was a close one. I almost just made a fool out of myself. But that is one question we will not have to hit on the corrections.
Well, great job.
Next week. Thank you.
Great job.
Thanks. All right. I've got one for you as well. And I think you're going to like this one.
But I'm not going to get it right.
No. There's a good chance you will. There's also a good chance that you'll come very close, but not get it totally accurate. But for the America-themed trivia that I did, the 4th of July-themed trivia, I wanted to
1776.
I wanted to use the opportunity to almost display the amount of freedom that I have, you know, freedom of speech, right?
Okay.
So the question I came up with is that, according to the late comedian and national treasure George Ooh. Carlin. What are the seven dirty words you supposedly can't say on television?
Jesus Christ.
And this was the wager shot, too, so they had to get all of them. And it made a difference. Some people wagered they were way out of the victory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a really good question.
Thank you.
Shit.
Right.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Ass? Eh. No. Okay. Yep. Already out.
Yeah. Do you want to take a stab at the other?
Yeah.
You got four left. Four guesses, that is.
Shit. Fuck. Cunt?
Ding, ding.
Okay. I feel weird just saying that.
You put the question mark on it. It's fine. This is just an answer in trivia. We're not calling anybody these things. This
cock?
Close. That's like partial credit.
Dick?
Mm-mm, no, you're way off now.
Oh, okay.
Cocksucker.
Cocksucker.
Is the word you're looking for. And then it's kind of the rhythm. You kind of messed up the rhythm if you don't get it even right.
But okay.
Do you want... You got two more guesses.
I'm guessing motherfucker is different. Motherfucker is one. So yes. Fuck and motherfucker?
Yes.
Cocksucker.
It was different times in the 70s when you wrote this joke, you know? And then the last one is especially innocuous.
What is it?
Tits.
I'm going to have to disagree
shit,
with
piss,
him.
Fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. It's really the rhythm, I think, that makes that joke, not necessarily the symbols inside.
Did you have
it.
Anybody get it right?
Yes, two teams got it right. And one wagered 21 and one wagered 5.
Oof.
And then
makes all the difference.
Another team wagered 21 and they got it wrong.
I have tried to explain to people so much. There's so many people that just don't wager effectively.
Yeah.
Where they know they don't know it. And they're like, we're just going to write down, you know, fucking dick 7 times. And it's like, all right. And then they're like, we're going to wager it all. Why? You know you're not going to get it right. So wager 1. Because we've had people that have like wagered small and gotten it and knew that they were probably right.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have wagered everything knowing they're wrong and it's put them below somebody else.
Right. It's probably the only aspect of trivia that requires some degree of skill that's not just pure knowledge. Like, knowing how to wager in and of itself is a way that you have to play trivia if you want to win.
For sure. It's kind of like a poker move.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was a great last question.
Great. Thank you. Thanks.
That was fantastic. Feel good.
Yeah. So, listeners, you can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia Live on Mondays at 3 Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7. And every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That one starts at 7:30. Mark, you've got trivia on Wednesdays, right?
I do, at Nice Guys. Nice Guys Pints and Pies, LLC, in Cape Coral, on Cape Coral Parkway, from 9 until 10:30 p.m. And, that's it for me. That's the only trivia.
Yeah, great trivia there. Best pizza in Southwest Florida, hands down. You run a great trivia, dude. In fact, recently, to our pleasant surprise, both of our events were listed in the news press as part of their top trivia events in Cape Coral. So be sure to come check us out live at those dates and times. Thanks for listening. Hope you had fun. Follow us on Facebook at No Nonsense Trivia Challenge. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Until next time, fart proudly, No Nonsense listeners. Fart proudly into that gentle night.
Washington, Washington, 6'8" weighs a fucking ton. Opponents beware, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Washington, Washington, 6'8" weighs a fucking ton. Opponents beware, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. On the line, he had two on the vine. I mean, two sets of testicles, so divine.
On a horse made of cattle, he patrolled the land with amazing wooden trousers and his perfect hands.
Here comes George, in control. Women dug his snuff and his gallant straw.
Big opponent's brains.
And invented cocaine. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Washington, Washington.
Another one bites the dust.
6'20", fucking killing for fun.
Another one bites the dust.
Spread, spread, Delaware.
Another one bites the dust.
He's coming, he's coming, he's coming.
Another one bites the dust.
Sue me if I go too fast. But the sons of his opponents wish that he was their dad.
Got a ring for his name, got a brain for his heart.
they'll pick you apart. They'll pick you apart. Ooh, we'll say children, but not the British children. We'll say children, but not the British children. We'll say children, but not the British children. We'll say children, but not the British children.